Boker Tov, everybody. As where I am, good afternoon, as those were just heard. So we have the. I'm broadcasting from Lisbon, Portugal. As we're getting ready. We're a couple of days early for the Torah Motion Jewish History Trip. We started this back in 2011. Mark Shapiro, he called me if I would want to organize a trip to Prague and Budapest. That was back 11 years ago, and it was a fantastic trip. I had basically traveled nowhere besides Israel, had been almost nowhere. And since then, pretty much every summer, we added a new trip and repeated some of the old trips. So, and the Portugal trip was supposed to happen in 2020, but please God, it'll be starting the beginning of next week. And next week, please God, I'll be in Porto. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to start to share at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, but it's not fair to people who are their schedule, so I will not give the regular share on the sitter. I don't want to miss a class if I can at all avoid it. I try hard to avoid that. So what I'll do next week, we'll skip a week on the sitter. So if you can't make it, I fully understand. And you won't miss anything that way. We'll go back to what we did, last summer, a couple of summers ago. We'll do a class. So I'll send that out, but that, please God, be at 5:30 Eastern time next Friday. Okay, but we can get started today on Mizmor Lutodah. We have a short Mizmor. We finished Hodu last week. It's really sort of Hodu that we discussed the last 3 weeks is sort of a longer form of Thanksgiving. Remember, we've only started Psukah Dezimra, just Bar Shamar, and then we go to Hodu. And as we all know, we've discussed the Sephardim say Hodu before Bar Shamar, but Mizmor Shir, everybody agrees, you stay right afterwards. Mizmor Shir is a much shorter song of thanksgiving and praise. So we'll go through it and hopefully we'll find some interesting things. Okay, so the first thing is there's really two ways of looking at Mizmor the Torah. It's only four psukim. It's Tehillim 100. That's where it comes from. This is, again, is one of, most of Psukim Zimra is in Tehillim. The main parts beginning from Ashrei, but this was at the end of Tehillim. So this is a little bit earlier, Mizmor 100, Kuf, and very short. And the question is, what's it about? So is it specific to the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving offering, or not? It's just a Thanksgiving offering unto God. So we'll sort of go through it. And obviously, in a certain sense, probably both are true. But why don't we start with the assumption Mizmor L'Todah means a song when they brought the Todah offering, the Korban Todah. We actually gave a shir on Parshat Tzav. I spoke on the Korban Todah. The Korban Todah is a Thanksgiving offering. And it's unique in the sense that you have to eat it within 1 day as opposed to within 2 days. Normally, when there being a korban that you can eat, many korban that you cannot eat. A korban ola nobody eats, an elevation offering or whatever they call it. A korban chatat, a sin offering, only the priest, only the kohanim can eat. Korban asham, only the kohanim can eat. Korban mincha, only the kohanim can eat. So the only korban that quote unquote non-kohanim can eat is a shlamim, a peace offering. And there are many forms of peace offerings. The korban pesach is a korban shlamim. The korban todah is a form of a shlamim, but unlike all the other korban shlamim, it has to be eaten within 1 day. And we've mentioned a number of times, I think our first opening class on the Siddur back in the fall, I quoted the insight I heard from Rabbi Silver of Drisha, why every Siddur begins at Shachrit, and not supposed to Mariv. The Friday night begins at Mariv, right? The day begins at night. So why does our Siddur begin at Shachrit? And he tied that into this halachic notion, which everybody agrees with, that the day in the temple starts only in the morning, right? The day that the day starts at night is only a outside of the temple. It's so unusual. Vayir, vayhi boker, whatever. The day starts in the morning. Vayhi boker, yom echad. And when the morning comes, it's the next day. So any korban that you bring in the daytime, you have till the following morning to eat it. So that's, you bring a korban on Monday afternoon, you have till Tuesday morning, till sunrise. Then the rabbis added a precaution to eat it by midnight. That doesn't mean 12 a.m. It means halfway through the night. Probably around 1 o'clock on daylight saving times in most places or whatever. But so But the Korban Torah has to be eaten only on that day, and that's to, you don't have the second day to eat it, an extra day, because we want to publicize the miracle, Thanksgiving. You got into medical school, you're really excited, you want to say thank you, so you want more people to come, because if you have to eat, and the Korban Torah was big, a lot, you had to have 40 loaves of bread, which were made of chametz, half of chametz, not of chametz, so you had to invite more people, so it'd be Persume Nisa. That was really the idea of the Korban Torah, to let people know about God's generosity and miracles. And we'll talk about, you know, the classic cases that people assume a Korban Torah, you got sick, were better, got out of jail, etc. So one interpretation, one way that the commentaries look at this Mizmor, it's a Mizmor L'Toda. It was a Mizmor said, that it seems to be true, is a Mizmor said in the Beit HaMikdash when somebody brought a Korban Todah. He actually said this. But I just want to show you one amazing idea. We have these ideas that I assume the Rambam would consider them heresy, but they go against the way we're often taught. But you wouldn't believe, I mean, maybe you would believe me, but let's see it in print and see what it's like. Okay, but the Midrash Rabbah has to say about the Korban Chata, the Korban Todah. So the Midrash Rabbah says, just let me find it. Give me 1 second. Vayikra Rabbah. Okay. Okay. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry, there is no English translation that I know of. Maybe there is somewhere, but on Sephardi, the Vayikra Rabbah is not translated to English. Latid lavo, in the future, kol ha-korbanot betelim. All sacrifices will be annulled. So I'm sure many of you have heard concept like this. People know the Rambam wasn't a big fan of, or I don't know, he wasn't a big fan. The Rambam historicized, you know, sacrifices. Yes. Had the Torah been given at a different point in history, we wouldn't have needed any sacrifices. But when, at the time that they were given, the only way to worship God was through the sacrifices. So God couldn't divorce us from our sort of our comfort zone to tell people they can't bring sacrifices. Like I wrote an article, I think in the a few months into the pandemic, where I quoted, you know, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch's, became more famous, the idea that if it was up to him, he would close every shul for 100 years. He thinks Judaism needs a reset. People associate Judaism religiosity with the shul. That's a big mistake. He'd like to close every shul for 100 years and let people reestablish the basis of Jewish life in the home. That was a pretty radical statement. I assume he was exaggerating a little bit, but I don't know. But anyways, but he realized that's impossible. You can't tell people to be an observant Jew and not go to shul on Shabbat. It's just like the way we worship God is through shul. So the way people worship God in the ancient times is through korbanot. Today, most modern people find that that's not the way they want to worship God. I don't think the average person really means it so hard when they daven for the, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this, but you know, how many people feel so upset there are no korbanot? We've learned that we can worship God without korbanot, which is what the prophets kind of say. The korbanot are the sort of, you know, when everything is going well, that's an addition, but the korbanot are not the be all and end all. But nonetheless, all that being said, it's important to note the Rambam, that's only in the Mor Nevuchim, in his philosophical work. In his halachic work, the Rambam writes, you wouldn't know, Rambam's a very from Jew, and the Rambam writes, in the future, we're going to bring Korban, and he has a whole book. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell you anything about Korbanos. The Rif doesn't write about Korbanos. Other halachic authorities, because they were not applicable. The Rambam is the only code that wrote about laws that weren't applicable in his time. So the Rambam wrote a comprehensive code of Judaism, the Mishnah Torah, the second Torah. He wanted to incorporate all of Torah. So therefore, he included the Korbanot. You wouldn't know anything from his philosophical view of what Korbanot was. But here you have in the Medrash Rabbah that all Korbanot are going to be nullified. The Korban Todai no Batel. However, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, to say thank you, God, to say hakarat hatov, gratitude, that can never be annulled. By the way, this is the same thing, kol tefilot, all prayer will be annulled. Prayer is sort of parallel. It's not exactly replacement, but complementary to sacrifices. Prayer will be nullified, hadodai no batel. And, okay, so that's, the Gemara quotes a proof text to want to say that only the Korban Torah will survive. So that's a pretty wild idea. but that in the future the korban todah. So fine. So mizmor l'tovo. But when you brought a korban todah, you want to say thank you. So you would say this mizmor. That's why, of course, we don't say it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because on Shabbat and Yom Tov you are not allowed to bring a you weren't allowed to bring a private, you know, sacrifice. Communal sacrifices were offered on Shabbat. The korban, we had an extra communal sacrifice, the korban musaf. We had four sheep instead of two that we have every day. We have an extra two on the korban musaf, but no private korbanot. And that was the discussion that made Hillel, the Nasi, they were unsure about the korban pesach. The korban pesach sort of in between this public and private. It's everybody does it, but you bring it privately. So the rabbis weren't sure if you could bring Shmayan of Talia, the B'nai B'teira weren't sure if you brought it on Shabbos. And I guess back then they didn't like Erev Shabbos on Erev Pesach on Shabbos. So it didn't happen for a long time. And the one time when it happened, they didn't know what to do. And Hillel told him, he proved him, and he had a tradition. It is brought, and therefore they made him the Nasi. But you can't bring a korban todah, so therefore we don't say mizmor l'todah. We also do not say it on Erev Pesach. Why don't we say it on Erev Pesach and all Pesach? Why don't we say the korban todah then?
What are you against?
Chametz. Good. I'm glad everybody's listening, because it contains, this is the only korban besides the bikurim that besides the mincha bikurim on the shtei halechem that we brought on Shavuos that has chametz in it. So therefore, you can't do it on Pesach, and you can't do it Erev Yom Kippur for a similar reason. Because the korban todah can be eaten for 24 out till the next day. No, you bring it Erev Yom Kippur. The next day is Yom Kippur, so you can't eat it. We do bring it Erev Tisha B'Av because there is no we don't say it Erev Tisha B'Av. There's no Tisha B'Av in the Torah. There's only one fast day in the Torah. That's the way we want to go back to. So it wasn't said Erev Yom Kippur because you couldn't eat the Korban Todah for all 24 hours or whatever, even more than 24 hours. You had to eat it. So that's why it wasn't said. Now, what anybody here, any Sfardim here, but I did not know this myself, but apparently the Sfard, I don't mean Nusach Sfard, I mean Eidot HaMizrach, the real McCoy, the real Sfardim, they do say Mizmor L'todah on Pesach. And I was known to hear in the Netiv Bina that I use a lot, the Rokeach, the medieval, from the medieval period, he said it on Shabbos, he wouldn't say Mizmor L'todah. In other words, he said, Hariyul Hashem Kol Aretz. We have to thank and sing out to God. He skipped the words, Mizmor L'todah, we can give thanking. And Elbogen, in his classic work that we've quoted in the past, the German scholar wrote on the history of the liturgy. So he brings the practice of the community in Rome that they would only say it on Shabbat, that Mizmor L'todah was only said on Shabbat. Clearly, this is sort of the second half. And I was saying the Korban Todah, some view it as directly related to the Korban Todah, and some say it's really not related. It means we give thanksgiving every day, we give thanksgiving. And more so on Shabbat. Shabbat, it's a wonderful gift, Shabbat, but we have more time on Shabbat. So that's interesting. It's obviously that's not the, I assume that's not the practice anybody here, but if it is, I would love to hear. Anybody has the practice to say it on other days. But that's why the minhag is not to say it on Erev Pesach and on Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur and not on Shabbat. We also have a custom, we stand, right? Yeah, right. Everybody stands for Mizmor L'todah, kind of like a pain. You're sitting and you got to stand. Why do we stand? We don't stand for Shema, right? Amidah, that means to stand, right? You stand for the Amidah. Why do we stand for Mizmor L'todah? Well, it's so important. Yeah, it's okay. It's very important. Anybody? Okay. No, I'm sorry.
When you brought a korban, didn't you stand?
Ah, excellent. Debbie, thank you very much. When you brought a korban, you had to stand. Why did you have to stand? Not when you brought a korban. When you entered the Beit HaMikdash, you had to stand. Right. Korbanos too. Ein yeshiva al vazarela l'malchei Beit David Tovat. The only people who were allowed to sit in the courtyard, even of the temple, were the Malchei Beit David, the kingdom of King David and his descendants. Only a king was allowed to sit in the temple. Nobody could stand in the presence of God. You also couldn't wear shoes in the temple, right? The first thing God tells Moshe when he meets him, like, That's it. The introduction to Moshe is take off your shoes, right? He's at the stand. He hears a voice. Because, and we don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. We're like all in, we're all Kohanim, right? Yom Kippur, we're all translated into, transferred into the temple, and we wear a kittel. We're in the temple. We pretend we're like the angels, and we're not normal human beings on Yom Kippur. So we don't wear shoes because shoes, it represents the power of man. We discussed them when we did the, in Birchat HaShachar, Shasali Kotzar, shoes represent man's strength. And in the presence of God, man is a nobody. And mourners don't wear shoes for a very, very similar idea. But you weren't allowed to sit in the Beit HaMikdash, so assuming Mizmor LeToda is connected to this idea, so then you have to stand. And that's, of course, is our practice. You stand
for Mizmor LeToda. About the Sanhedrin.
Oh, I'm sorry?
About the Sanhedrin.
What about the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin was not situated directly in the Beit HaMikdash. They were next to the Beit HaMikdash.
Didn't they sit there?
They sat the Lishkan HaGazit. It wasn't when you weren't allowed to. They weren't right by the altar. The Sanhedrin is true. The Sanhedrin has to be by the Beit HaMikdash. Very good. But they were in a separate room, in a separate. They have the Lishkot, many separate areas. I just mean in the area right by. There. There you couldn't sit. But if you're like, it's like sort of like, I'll tell you another halacha that maybe I shouldn't tell you, but one that everybody ignores, lots of people ignore. And that's on Simchas Torah, there's a big problem. Because everybody, they have the Sefer Torah out in the room for 2 hours while they do hakafas. You're not allowed to sit when the Sefer Torah is standing. You have to go to another room. That's not when the Sefer, you don't have to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open. That's just a minhag. We have a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Every time they open the Aron, that's not a real halacha. You don't have to stand for Ne'ilah, and you don't have to stand for all the piyutim. It's a minhag. It's a nice thing if you can do it. But if the Sefer Torah is moving, it's out of the Ark, then you do have to stand. So it's very hard. Who wants to stand? People are schmoozing. They have to have the fast minion for people want quick hakafas. And the hakafas, people want to dance, but you can't, they don't work together. When people who don't want to dance are in the hakafas where people want to dance and they're sitting in the room, it's not really appropriate. So you can't stand. You're not supposed to sit in the presence of Sefer Torah, Kal Vachomer, in the presence of God, Mamash, in the Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to sing. A king has a special status. Of course, the Gemara says, Kama tipshe hayinshe. How stupid. Tipshim, a tipesh, a fool. How foolish people are, the Gemara in Makkos. They stand from a Sefer Torah. When a Sefer Torah walks in the room, everybody, okay, Simchas Torah, 2 hours, not going to stand. But everybody knows, right? You're sitting there and somebody walks in to take the Sefer Torah roller. Everybody jumps out of their seat as they should, right? But how foolish are people? They stand for the Sefer Torah, but they don't stand when a Torah scholar walks into the room. Sefer Torah, it's letters and parchment, no big deal. The real Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is on, is a living Sefer Torah that you have to stand. So that's a fascinating Gemara. As much as you have to honor the Torah scholar more than the Torah itself, but we have to honor the Torah itself. Somebody just asked me privately if I could repeat why we don't say Mizmor LeToda on Shabbat very quickly, because we do not bring personal sacrifices on Shabbat. The Korban Torah you brought to offer Thanksgiving. So we're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. So we don't say Mizmor LeToda. But we do stand, again, we're comparing it to the Korban Torah. So I just wanted to, now who has to bring a Korban Torah? It's very nice, Korban Torah. Who has to bring it? The four people, yes. Yeah. So that's what I want to point out. Okay. And who are these four people that have to bring a Korban Torah?
Cross the sea, out of jail.
Right. Okay. Very good. So let's take a look. Gemara Brachot 54. This I should have in English. Let me find it now. Okay. Too many things. 54b Brachot. Here we go. Okay. There's a Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda is a second generation Amora in Bavel, third century. The name of Rav, the founder of the yeshiva in Sur, the founder of Torah, really, in Babylonia. Arba tzrichim lehodot. Four people have to give thank you, say, give praise or thanks. Yordei Hayam, those who go to the sea, who go on a cruise. I don't think it meant the cruise. It didn't mean a cruise. They crossed, they had to travel for business. It wasn't so simple in those days, not a five-star cruise. Hoche mi barot, people who had to be in the desert. Mishayach olev in itrafe, who was sick and got better. And somebody, chavush bevet hasarim, he was in jail and he was released. And then the Gemara quotes, we'll maybe take a look at that in a few minutes. All these come from Mizmor 107. Tehillim 107, that Rabbi Liebtag gave a shiur on, a few, I think before Yom HaTzmut, not long ago, he gave a whole shiur showing why Mizmor L'Toda, why that Mizmor was chosen here. Now, what doesn't the Gemara say? What's missing in this Gemara? It's nice, four people have to give thanks. What's missing?
How you give thanks?
Excellent. How you give thanks. Nowhere does the Gemara say you have to bring a korban toda. Rashi doesn't say it. It could be I was looking around, I can't say I did a 100% comprehensive search. There's nothing wrong. It's nothing, but the because when the I'll tell you what I think the real answer. If you look, okay, so the Gemara, they have to give thanks. How you give thanks? There are many ways to give thanks. Today we use a birchat hagoma, but you can give. Give tzedakah, thanks. You can do all kinds of things. You can go pray. You can, yes. So in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, it made a lot of sense. You would bring the korban. But the Gemara doesn't directly say that someone who went on a sea journey and, you know, it was dangerous has to bring a korban toda. Why not? Is what I think. Why not? Because the idea of a forced korban toda is like, I would say, an oxymoron. You're going to force somebody to say thank you. It's like when we force people to apologize, you know. They're meaningless. I mean, politicians do it all the time. You know, they make a mistake. They you know, when you have to drag an apology and then say, well, if we offended you, we're sorry. Like, and if we didn't, like, you know, it's almost meaningless. The idea of a forced korban. And if you look in the Torah, in Parshat's, the seventh chapter in Vayikra, let me see if I put it up here. Otherwise, we can look for it. I'm pretty sure, I mean, that's the main place the Korban Torah talks about, the Korbanot, Korban Toda, nothing. It says, here, let me just do it quickly. I'll show you. Vayikra, chapter 7. Okay, here we go. The Chabad pops up first. Okay, the Seder. These are the laws of the Shlamim. Korban Toda is a Shlamim. Said, if you bring a Korban, the Torah never tells you. It's not in Vayikra either. Not in Vayikra itself. The Torah never tells you when you have to bring a Korban Toda. You bring a Korban Toda when you should bring a Korban Toda. But that's up to you. You can't force a Thanksgiving. So Arba Tzrichim Lahodot, four have to give thanks. So of course the Talmud's saying that, but doesn't necessarily mean, and I do believe it's Machloket, doesn't necessarily have to say a Korban Toda. And what's interesting is, of course, and I'll show this to you quickly now, is the proof that these four people don't come from this means. This means more is too short. It's too much of a generic mizmor l'todah. The proof comes from Tehillim 107. So in other words, Arba Tzrichim L'Hodot, and they bring Tehillim 107, not mizmor l'todah. So let's just take a very quick look. Rabbi Liebtag, if you want to get the longer version, spoke about this mizmor at great length a while back. But let's just take a quick look, Psalm 107. So it's basically, so we start at the beginning. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. That comes up more than one place, right? Meretzot ki b'seim ta'u b'midbar. They're wandering in the desert, and v'yizaku el Hashem, we cry out to God, and God then saves us. V'yidrichem v'derech yishor, he takes us on the straight path, and yodu l'Hashem, so we have to give thanksgiving to God for taking us out of the desert. Same thing, yashvei choshet, people are sitting in the darkness, v'yidzaku el Hashem. We're in jail. We crawl out to God. God takes us out. Michoshek b'tzomabed. Okay. Yodu l'Hashem chastok. Therefore, give thanks to God. Then the Gemara continues. Where we go? It's a simple way. Okay. Yishlach v'rovi your fame. People who were sick. Yodu Lashem Chasto. So the Mizmor goes through each of these four, Yordei Ha'am Baniyot. People go down in the sea, Osei Melachot, and it was dangerous, and there was a Ruach Sarah, you know, the Ruach could turn the winds and the water, Yalu Shemayim, right? And then, by Yizeku Hashem, we cried out to God, and God makes it the Dmama, the Sarah, the tidal waves, they stop, they come very quiet, Dmama, called Dmama.com, very quiet voice. They were quiet, you know, they stopped. Yodu Lashem Chasto. So there is no real connection between Mizmor Letoda and Arba Tzrichim Lehodot. It's the connection is to Mizmor Kufsai. Now, obviously, these two Mizmorim are connected in some way. But I just want to point out, because everybody just assumes that, and it's not even that it isn't true. Often it's the way the Gemara expresses things, the way the Torah expresses things. Like I think I discussed it last week or 2 weeks ago, Im Kesef Talva, right? If you give, you know, charity. That's not, and that's one of the places where the Gemara says, if doesn't mean if, it means you're obligated to. But the Torah didn't write it. You shouldn't give charity because you're obligated. You didn't want to. So the fact, in other words, the Torah purposely wrote it in these ways. The Torah purposely wrote, if you happen to bring a Korban Todah, these are the laws. But obviously, there are times you should bring a Korban Todah, but the Torah can't force you to say Thanksgiving. Okay. So that's that Gemara there. Okay. Now, so let's go through the Mizmor itself, because that we haven't done. Okay. Does everybody have a sitter? I think it's easier. I prefer not to share my screen for this. Everybody can just pull it out. It's very short. Mizmor Letoda. Okay. A song Thanksgiving. So by the way, most, like if you look in this new book I got from, I think Sandra Welkis is online. I think her family sponsored it. The Wogelmuth, Rabbi Wogelmuth, who I never met, who was, I believe, got smicha at the Hildesheim Rabbinical Seminary in Germany, you know, the classic German Orthodox rabbi. And he taught for many, many years in Maimonides. And he taught a course on Tfilah. I think people who live in Boston went to Maimonides can tell me more about it. Rav Soloveitchik, I think, was involved or very much encouraged him. And I think when in his later
Rav
years.
Rav Soloveitchik was the one who gave him the mandate to do that.
Right. And said that's what I was. Thank you. Correct. Yes, yes. And then I read in the introduction, I got the book now, because I was teaching the course, that he wasn't well. He was he lived to be in his 90s. But so he dictated basically the book, and they put out the book. And now so he quotes there also. I mean, he's not the only one to quote it, but Mizmor Letoda is for all the miracles. The way they put it is that all the miracles that happen to us every day. Now, basically, what they're saying is a nation, the star, like, and there was all the goodness that God, that we're not even aware of it. That's human nature. First of all, we often don't know. We don't know things that don't happen, you know, like, and then when they say like a near miss on the airplane, it's not a near miss, it's a miss. You don't want to be in a near miss. If it nearly misses, that means you're hit. You want to, right? So you don't even know. People don't even know often how close they come to danger, which is sort of the Arba Tzrichim Lehodot, are people whose lives were in danger. I mean, right? It's not like it's not a five-star cruise and you say, bring a current thought. It was dangerous to travel. It was dangerous to go in a desert. You got sick and being in jail, who knows if you ever got out. So those were very dangerous things. That's why there's a big question today. Do you have to bench Gomel even? If assuming the Korban Todah and benching Gomel go together, sort of. So you have to bench Gomel when you fly to Israel. And, you know, but the flying is the safest form of, you go over the sea and so you go over the desert and the sea, and many people feel no. Many people today, I think it used to be people did, but as it's more and more common. Rav Soloveitchik apparently felt when he first came from Boston to New York every week, he used to say Tfilat Aderech, benching Gomel. I don't know, bench Gomel, Tfilat Aderech. He said, and then I think he stopped. He said, you say Tfilat Aderech when you feel you're going on a journey. The Gemara says, Kol HaDrachim, when you go on a journey, there's more danger. But today, people go on journeys every day to work. They travel, 50 miles to work, and they go on the highways every day, back and forth. So lots of people don't feel it. So it's a different thing. It's not, that Gemara should not be understood in a literal sense. But Rabbi Wogelmuth, another point out, Mizmor Letoda, there's so many things that go on in our life we don't even know about it. So that's what the real Mizmor Letoda. It's not a contradiction that it's referring to the Korban Todah, but it's really a song of thanksgiving for everything that happens. Okay, so let's go through it. It's not long. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. It's a beautiful verse. Hariu, even, I don't know, how does your Siddurim, I have only Hebrew because I'm traveling, so I only brought a little small Siddur. How does your Siddurim translate Hariu? Sing.
Shout joyously to the Lord.
Shout joyously to God. Okay. From the word trua, right? Okay, shout joyously. Okay, any other translations? What's that? Koran, art scroll?
Yes, Koran sex.
Koran, and how does art scroll translate?
Call out.
Call out, okay. Without the joy. Or with, call out.
No. Just call out to Hashem, everyone else.
That's very interesting. You see, right there. Koran says joyously call out, and art scroll doesn't put the word joy. Very, because the word, there isn't Hariu Lashem. Does that, is Hariu a call of joy? Is Hariu calling out? Let's say on Rosh Hashanah, it's clearly connected to a trua, right? Trua means we call out to God in prayer, right? I just find right there, you've got a very interesting, thank you very much, interesting debate between art scroll and Koran, what the word Hariu means. Of course, but you know, it's because nothing can be translated. That's, I got to know Hebrew. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz, sing out. Sing out, joy, enjoy, whatever. Singing and joy go together, of course. You can't really sing if you're not joyous. Maybe we'll come back to that later. So Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. So the now, who's Kol Haaretz? How would you translate Kol Haaretz?
All the earth, it seems.
Everyone on earth.
Everyone on earth. Okay. Yes. Right. Is that what it says?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I translate it as the earth. Kol Haaretz.
Oh.
The entire earth. You know, I am blown away. My son, who's doing a PhD in physics, I started asking him. I didn't understand. He was trying to explain to me a little bit. The Webb, what's it called? The James Webb's telescope. This is like unbelievable. Ma Rabu Masach Hashem. We're looking back 4.5 billion years, right? Isn't that where the telescope? I mean, that star could have disappeared 4 billion years ago, and we're not going to know for another 4.5 billion years. Like it's unbelievable that what they can do, the vastness of the universe, the stars. Seeing how we have so much in our Tehillim, accounting the stars. I mean, God's promised Abraham, look up to the stars. I don't think of, yes, it means, but again, the Torah could have written Kol Adam, Kol Ish, whatever. It could have written. It didn't write that. It wrote Kol Haaretz, nature. Sings to God. In other words, nature song. This songs of the beautiful sounds of nature. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. Yes, but well, hold on. How do art scroll and Koran translate Kol Haaretz? Let's go there. Anybody a Birnbaum sitter? Like old, you know, nobody uses the Birnbaum anymore. Or the solo pool. That's like, you need a Chias Amati for that sitter. Right? You know, but anybody, you know, I grew up on the Birnbaum sitter. Anybody still have the Birnbaum sitter?
We used to use this Birnbaum at Beit HaMinyan.
Very nice. Okay. Nice to hear that. Okay. Philip Birnbaum, he did a lot of good work. But, okay, so how do they translate Kol Haaretz? I'm just curious.
Everyone on earth is...
Everyone on earth, right.
So I have a Birnbaum. I can go and get a Birnbaum.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, if you want, that's fine. But thank you. So, right. So I just think it's really, again, it's the idea. And of course, it's through nature we come to recognize God. That's one of the common ways to recognize. The Rambam really begins the Mishnah Torah like that. To study, when the Rambam talks about studying the Galgalim and the astronomy and how the stars work, that's to appreciate God through nature. Yes. So nature sings out to God. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. Of course, we have to learn from nature, but I think that's a beautiful thing. It's a very natural song. Okay, Mizmor Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. Now, the Malbim died in, when did he die? 1880s? I'm trying to think now. The Malbim was, anybody look at the Malbim ever? Like, is he popular all with people? Mayor, what's his name? Mayor Leibish, I forget now. I should know this. Mayor, I forget, Ben Yechiel Moshe or something. The Malbim is a Rosh Teva for his name. I just, unfortunately, I forget offhand. Malbim Mayor, something, Ben, whatever. But the mummy was, I think, lived mainly in Romania. But he wrote a commentary on Chumash where he goes through word by word, like very, you know, why, what is the difference between Sason and Simcha? What's the difference? Like all the, he always did things like that. And he asked sort of like the Abarbanel, but much shorter. He asked, you know, questions and he gives answers. It's a modern commentary, 19th century. He was offered the job. I'm trying to think why he didn't take the job. Now I have to look this up again. He was offered the job to become the first chief rabbi of New York. You know, New York once had a chief rabbi once and never again, because that was a disaster. She'en Kamohu, Rav Yaakov Yosef, RJJ, Rav Yaakov Yosef was brought, he was the Magid in Vilna, was brought to New York in 1892. I'm sorry, I don't remember offhand. And the Malbimed, I think, was offered job. And I'm not sure if he didn't take job because he died in the interim or not. I don't remember. Anyways, that's just a total aside. But the Malbim, who really wrote the fascinating Perushim on Chumash and all of Tanakh, he says like this. He says, what does it mean? Mizmor l'tariyul Hashem kol ha'aretz. So he says like this. He says, normally, God works through agencies, right? God, you know, God doesn't get so involved in history. God, I remember Rav Shechter used to tell us, God is an El Mistater. God is a hidden God. God is, you know, we talk about Hester Panim. That's a terrible thing. That means God is hidden and is really uninvolved in the world. Hester Panim is a big curse. But even when there's not Hester Panim, obviously God is hidden. He's an El Mistater. So I remember Rav Shechter would sometimes say, he's so hidden, most people can't find him. Most people don't think he exists. Lots of people, because God is not obvious. It's very easy to explain through the Webb telescope. Wow, you know, it's very, some people will be inspired to say, Ma Rabu Masach Hashem, and some people will be inspired or would say, wow, science is, you know, what's God? It's all about science, the amazing things of science. So God works through agency. But when there's a miracle, that's when God comes. Haril Hashem Kolaretz, this is for miraculous events. That's how he's understanding it. And that's when God is directly involved, like in Egypt, the Yad Chazakah, God, you know, everybody's going to know. That was the purpose of the Makkah, was for the Egyptians and the Jews to know that there's a God. So that's really what we call the difference between a Nes Nigla and a Nes Nistar, a hidden miracle and an obvious miracle. We believe the sun rising, the sun doesn't really rise, the earth rotating, but okay. The sun rising every morning is a miracle. Of course, none of us view that as a miracle because it's natural, happens every day, but that's why we say it in our tefillot. We talk about nature. The first bracha, Yotzer HaMa'orot, the law big Amayor La'aretz, Ol Darim Le'ev Rachamim, Tzvom Chadesh, B'chol Yom Tamid Masay Breshit. Every day God renews creation. We have a whole bracha. We don't pay attention. Hopefully, within I don't know a few months, a few years, we'll get there. It's not so far away, actually. Amayor La'aretz. So we talk about, yes.
Just so you know, the Sim Shalom translates it as acclaim the Lord, all the earth, they find yours. And the Hertz Sidur from many, many years ago says, shout out for joy unto the Lord, all ye lands.
All ye lands. So, right. So both, you know what? Those are the more traditional. I think they're more, both of those, the Sim Shalom is a conservative, you know, sitter, I believe. And is Hertz. I don't know. It's not Hertz. Hertz never did.
Hertz.
Hertz, like as in the chief rabbi of England, the Hertz Chumash. I didn't know he did a sitter. Wow. The Hertz Chumash I know about. I didn't know there was a Hertz sitter. Wow. I always think the Hertz sitter, the Hertz Chumash to me is always a reflection of how North American Jewish life has changed. When I was a kid growing up in the 70s, so every shul in the world used the Hertz Chumash. The Reform Shul, the Conservative Shul, and the Orthodox Shul, I use the Hertz Chumash. Unbelievable. Can you imagine writing a Chumash that was modern enough and scholarly enough that Reform could use it? And he addresses biblical criticism and comments in the back, and some stuff is really good. But, you know, people today read it, they can't take it. He quotes non-Jewish people. It has an apologetic flavor. He's a driver, all these non-Jewish Bible scholars to prove the Bible is correct. But I'm sure people of a certain age, no matter what shul you davened in, I don't know, in the Satmar Shtibel, but to any regular shul in the world, use the Hertz Chumash. And today, nobody uses the Hertz Chumash. It's like, oh my gosh. And today, there's the Art Scroll or now Goren, whatever, for Orthodox, and the Plaut for the Reform. Here, the Chumash, and I forget the Conservative Chumash, what it's called. The words are the same.
Etz Chaim.
The Reform Orthodox, Baruch Hashem.
The conservative one is Eitz Chaim.
I'm sorry?
The conservative one is Eitz Chaim.
Right, Eitz Chaim. It's the red cover. Yeah. So at least the words of the Chumash are the same. The Reform hasn't changed any of the words of the Chumash. They just say, may differ in how it was put together, who wrote it. But the words, we all agree, more or less. Anyways, that's just a comment. But I think that Hertz and Birnbaum are much more faithful. I don't know if that represents this, you know, sort of a different time period where people have that today. Whatever reason, the more modern translations are all the people. All the people should sing. Okay. Itwat Hashem besimcha. Worship God with joy. Okay. What does that mean? So it means what it means. It means you have to worship. Worshiping God is very, very joyous, right? You should love to do mitzvot. You know, Rav Moshe said one of the great tragedies of American Jewish life is it wasn't that they were wrong. I mean, you know, the people came from Europe. I don't know Yiddish. You can say it a lot better than I can. It's very difficult to be a Jew. So Rav Moshe Feinstein apparently said once, you know, of course, so why would kids want to be Jewish? People don't like it. It's hard. I'll assimilate to America. You say it's beautiful, it's joyous, it's so exciting, it's so wonderful, it's so beautiful to be Jewish. The Hasidic movement, that's really what the Hasidic movement did. The Misnagdim were very ascetic. They used to fast all the time. We mentioned that last week or 2 weeks ago, the increase in fast days. Yeah, last week we spoke about the fast day for the Friday Persha, you know, Chukah. What did the Hasidim took a Yortzeit in the Shulchan Aruch? It says there's a Minak, it's not Allah, it's a Minak to fast on a Yortzeit. Anybody here fast ever on a Yortzeit? And the Hasidim, anybody here not make a Kiddush?
Yes.
You fasted, Rabbi Alman, you both fasted and made a Kiddush.
No, fasted and didn't make a Kiddush.
Oh, fasted and didn't make a Kiddush. Okay. Right. So you could fast one and make Kiddush on different days. No, it's just interesting. The Hasidim totally changed it. How could they do that? Well, whatever. It's just very fascinating. But the idea of
my mother was very nice. She was Nifter on Rosh Chodesh.
Uh-huh, so you didn't have to
fast. But my mother suggests that I can't fast. My father's right, there to fast, unless it's Shabbos.
Yeah, so no, I've never fasted. On Shabbos. I've never fasted on a Yortzeit. Tov, I assume you haven't fasted either. Never fasted on a Yortzeit. I'm aware of the minig, of course. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not Stam HaMinag. It's Stam HaMinag, but it's a minag in the Shulchan Aruch. Whatever. But I remember once David Berger, Professor David Berger came when we were doing live programs in Toronto many years ago. He was speaking on a Sunday morning in Toronto. And he, at the beginning of his lecture, he said that I may take a drink in the middle. He has Yortzeit today. And he has a minhag to fast till Chatzot on the Yortzeit. So after Chatzot, in the middle of his talk was going to be Chatzot, he was going to take a drink of water. It's the first time it just announced. But anyways, Yivdu at Hashem b'simcha. We have to worship God with joy and happiness. Now, it's not just that's what we should do, and that's wonderful. One who doesn't means, I mean, how can you not worship God in joy? In other words, there's no such thing as worshiping God if you're not happy. Then there's something wrong in the worship. In other words, it's not just the way proper way to worship is with joy. I'm saying more than that. If you don't have joy, it means there's something wrong in the worship. Because as Rav Soloveitchik, and we've mentioned many times, the definition of simcha in Judaism is being in the presence of God. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem. You should rejoice before God for 7 days. That's why the lulav and etrog in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash, right? That's why the yontif breaks avelus, right? There's no, when yontif comes, avelus over why? It's connected to the Beit HaMikdash, the presence of God. Yontif, there's a halacha to go to the Beit HaMikdash, right? You go to the temple. Go to the temple, you're in the presence of God, there's only joy. And you can't have mourning in the presence of God. There cannot be mourning on a yontif, a day of joy. It's very hard, obviously, on the person level when this happens, you know, Erev Yontif, somebody dies and whatever. But philosophically, Judaism's the notion of yontif is one of simcha, and simcha has to be connected only in other words, being in the presence of God has to be connected to simcha, to joy. So that's the Yidur Shem B'Simcha means you're not properly worshiping God. That's why on Tisha B'Av, we say Satam Tfilati. We can't even daven on Tisha B'Av. We daven, we say words, but I mean, we do that a lot. But Satan Filati, it's God has closed Listom, he's closed our prayers, our tefillot, our prayers. Everything okay? Okay. So we walked into a hotel room here. Okay. So Satam Tfilati, God, we can't pray. On a day of mourning, you can't approach God. There's a disconnect between God and the Jewish people. So either Hashem Basimcha is a description. If you're going to be Oveda Hashem, that by definition is Simcha. It's very sad that people feel sometimes an obligation to worship God. Again, it's the same thing, giving stock. You're giving a korban to that. It's not supposed to come because you have to do it. It should be the natural reaction. It should be the natural way. So either Hashem b'simcha bo lefanav birnana. How do they translate the difference between simcha and rina?
Joy, jubilation. Rina is jubilation.
So what's the difference between joy and jubilation? Can somebody explain to me? Because I don't know what the difference is. What's joy? What's the difference in joy and jubilation?
Jubilation is stronger, I think.
Jubilation is stronger. I don't know. So I'll tell you what the Malbim says. So I don't know. The Malbim says that simcha is sort of a more, you know, stable, ongoing. The state of being we're always supposed to be in. Because when do we worship God? 24/7. 365, 24/7. We're always worshiping God. Sometimes we worship God in shul, in the temple, but we can worship God while we eat, while we play sports, while we go on a trip to Portugal, going to Jewish history, whatever, read anything you do, you can, is a mechanism. In the business world, though, you conduct your business honestly, faithfully, you give people in front. All, everything we do is Oved Hashem. I've mentioned on many court. I've mentioned this many times. It's very tragic when we disconnect our secular life. We don't believe in secular. Rav Shachter would also tell us that all the time. There's no thing as secular in Judaism. There are levels of Kiddusha. There's Kodesh Kodeshim. Obviously, the level Yom Kippur has a higher level of Kiddusha than a Thursday afternoon. But Thursday afternoon also is an opportunity, or Friday morning. Friday morning, we know it's Erev Shabbos, but even Thursday, the opportunity to, you know, to always be Eved Hashem. So Simcha is sort of the state of being that a Jew should always be in. Joy, it's continuous joy. Renana is like, wow, a burst, maybe jubilation. Something really exciting happened. The Yankees won the World Series. No, that's a bad example. Okay, the Blue Jays won the World Series. I never told you the story. I hope my son won't mind. I've told it before, but many, many years ago. So, and aside, if you don't want to listen, don't pay attention. But one minute aside, a number of years ago, I give a shiur on Shabbos afternoon. This must have been a good 6-7 years ago, and 5-6 years, whatever. So I mentioned something about, I mentioned how Rabbi Sheinberg said that in 1969, when the Mets won the World Series, he was very excited. But by 1986, when the Mets won the World Series, he didn't care anymore. And he was very proud of himself. In other words, Nebuch, when I was just a younger Rav, you know, I cared about sports, so I got excited when the Mets. But by 1986, when the Mets, those who know this stuff, Bill Buckner, the heir for space, whatever. So in 1986, he was very excited. He wasn't excited. So I said, I'm not on such a level. And if the Mets won the World Series, I would get excited. And then he said, no, not if the Mets won the World Series. If the Blue Jays won the World Series, then I would still get excited. So my son, who was like 10 or 11, was sitting in the room this year. And he said, if the Blue Jays won the World Series, I would paint our house blue. Now, good thing my wife wasn't sitting there, and it's okay. The Blue Jays haven't won the World Series since, so you don't have to worry. And very interesting, sitting at that chair, I did not know this, was a friend of a regular chemist this year, brought a friend. This friend was the director of marketing for the Toronto Blue Jays. And they, after Shabbos, they sent us an email, and they said, wow, we're so impressed. Here are 4 tickets to an upcoming Blue Jay game. And they gave, so I told my son, next week I'm going to talk about cars. And say, you know, if we get something, what car you want to have. But anyway, so that's a story. Okay. Why are we talking about that? Being excited. That's Renana. So, okay, it can be a little excited at the Blue. If the Toronto Maple Leafs won the World Stanley Cup, that would be a nice Nikla, not a nice Nistar. Those who live in Toronto know exactly what I mean. Anyways, but no, you're really excited. Baruch Hashem. Listen, the real excitement, you're learning Torah. That's the most exciting thing. It's so beautiful, so wonderful. You're doing mitzvah. But you get into medical school, that's Rina. you win the lottery, you got a job, you really want, got a promotion. These are all wonderful things. That's exactly what you were bringing a korban todah, right? Getting a promotion at work is wonderful. I mean, as long as that allows you to do more Kiddush Hashem, to have more wonderful things to do. So that's the difference between Rina and Simcha. Simcha is sort of our constant state, or it should be, and Rina is these spontaneous moments of joy. Okay, let's finish up. We have a few minutes. I'd like to finish.
Rabbi Kelman?
Yes.
Yeah, I looked up online the Birnbaum Siddur.
Uh-huh.
So he says here the difference between Simcha and Rinana. So the first is joy, and the second is singing.
Yes, and a few of the commentaries say joyous song.
So Simcha is not with song. Singing.
No, Rina.
Right, Rina. Yeah.
Rina is more song. Right. But that was simple. Yeah, Rina has the
whole
notion.
Rina, because it's called Rina.
Yeah. I hear that. Okay. Listen, I great. It's not like either or. But listen, they are synonymous. Tehillim is, the whole thing's a song, right? Poetry, it's poets. We write the same things in many different ways. They don't have to be so distinct. Right. I mean, the Mefarshim like to look for distinctions, right? Remember, it's also David HaMelech. It's not God. I mean, but even in the Torah, we often, for its literary license, that's beautiful. That's what great literature does. It says the same thing in different ways. But okay, that's into Rina's being a song. Okay, for sure, to sing. The Levim sang a song, right? Every day. Yashir Shel Levim, right? We had to sing. Of course, we sing with joy, right? I get very upset when even on a Wednesday morning, if I go to Shul and Hallel, they don't sing anything, everybody's in a hurry. So thank God I daven in a school every day. So in schools, they sing for Hallel, even on a Wednesday morning. But I don't like it on Sunday morning, my minyan rosh chodesh. Sunday morning, what's everybody in a hurry for? Sing a little bit. Sing Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Le'olam Kasto. We don't have to run through. Hallel means to sing. I mean, it means to praise, but we praise through song. Right, 100%. Okay, good. Du'u, no. Ki Hashem Hu Elohim. Know that God made us. Now, this is unbelievable. How do you translate below anachnu?
We are his.
We are his.
Where are his? So anybody have a Tanakh open? Let's see. Let me do this for you because it's rather astounding. Most people are, I'm sure some of you are not aware of this. Maybe you are aware of this.
But Kriyuksiv?
Yeah, the Kriyuksiv, exactly. The Kriyuksiv, why am I can't move this? Okay, that didn't work. Hold on, let me try. The Kriyuksiv, yeah, I can't. Okay, forget, I don't know what happened there. And it's written with an Aleph. Here we go. Oh, I'm not sharing my screen. Okay, give me 1 second. Where are we here? Yeah. Okay, it's written, Lo Anachnu in Tanakh is written not with a Vav, but with an Aleph.
Oh, it means the opposite.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite. Isn't that cool? We have a
it
lot
hurts.
Of.
It hurts. It's the same way.
Where is it? Here we go. Now, so they write it here in Sepharia, they put the low with an aleph in brackets, and the round brackets and the low in the square brackets. The square bracket means it's not in the text usually, right? The low enough. Now, whoa, what's going on here? Unbelievable, right? So, there are two ways to mean it. I mean, it's really, do ki Hashem, you should know that God is Hashem hu Elohim. Hu asanu, he made us, velo anachnu, and we're sort of have a special with lo, like to him, we are the special nation, amo, b'tzon marito, wow, we're thanking God, God created man, he made a special covenant with the Jewish people, and like a shepherd for the sheep, God, b'tzon marito, God watches over, so we're so thankful that we have this unique bond, that God cares so much about us. So what's velo anachnu, with an aleph? God made us. We didn't make ourselves. You think they make a web thing to look at a web thing, James Webb. I asked my son who James Webb was. We were having a discussion at the supper. I said, I said, I can't believe he's a philanthropist. Maybe in a Jewish organization, I wouldn't say that. I said, I can't believe it. He must be a scientist, but I never heard of him. So if anybody know, by the way, I asked my son, he knew. All right, he looked it up. So James Woods was the head of NASA in the 60s for 8 or 9 years. So they named this for him. But anyway, so but man, because we're so amazing, we have done so much. The more we do, that's always the fear. So the mizmor, it's low and low. It's the opposite. Both are true. The low and achnu. Don't take credit. Give thanks to God. Bring your korban todah. Give thanks. The low and achnu. It's not us. Yes, we partner with God. We've got to do our share. But I think it's such a beautiful thing. The low and the low. And I don't know why in the Siddur they don't ever like print it like that. They only print the low with the vav in the Siddur.
It's really hard to do, or they do print it with the
I heard the all style coroner art scroll. I bet you don't have it. I'd be shocked.
It's
coroner
brilliant.
Art scroll. No, art scroll doesn't have it.
Right. Yeah, it's that because that's too radical. You know, it sounds like it'll confuse people, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. The old traditional Siddur, we're more scholar. I don't know what to say. But I'm glad to hear that the Hertz has it. Okay. I'm over to Bo Sharab Bitoda. I was hoping we'd finish it today. I don't know. Maybe we have to leave one bit for next week or 2 weeks. Okay. Bo Sharab Bitoda, come into God's gates with thanksgiving. So again, if it's the Korban Todah, because of all that God created us and he did some miracles for us and he saved us from the sea or whatever. So we have to enter the gates because God is doing this, Bo Sharab. Therefore, there's an obligation to go to the temple gates with a Korban Todah. That's the Korban Todah, the way to explain it. If you're just explaining that, it's just thanksgiving as a general rule. So it means come, we give thanks. How do we give thanks to God? We come into his gates, the Todah, with thanksgiving. Chatzetrot, we're again, the Chatzetrot. Here we're singing with instruments, right? The Gemara has a debate. What's the highest form of singing? Singing by song or with instruments? The Levim on Shabbos, right? The musical, the Levim, the singing with the voice or singing with the musical instrument? Musical instruments have more, wow, it's more powerful. But what represents our greater, you know, avodat to Hashem? But here, the Chatzot, Chatzot right here is not the Chatzotrot. I was confusing. Chatzot, come into God's courtyard, the Tehillah. But it means with song. I was, you know, but we always with song, with instruments, without. Hodulo baruch shmo, give thanks to God. Now, Kitov Hashem olam chasdo bador v'dor emunato. So the parak ends. Kitov Hashem olam chasdo. So we said before, Hashem hu Elohim. We say this on Yom Kippur 7 times. Right? Hashem hu Elohim. That's how we end Yom Kippur, right? Hashem hu Elohim 7 times. What does it mean, Hashem hu Elohim? The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God, right? Again, I don't know how Art Scroll and Koran, how they all translate. The difference between, is it the Lord is our God? Is that how they normally translate Hashem hu Elohim? You can let me know. But I think what it means, Hashem is always this God of mercy. And Elohim is the God of justice. Elohim is the God of nature, of creation. Therefore, the world, natural world, God created the world of justice. Hashem hu Elohim, the same God who does great kindness is also the God of justice. And sometimes kindness is through justice. Sometimes when God is harsh on us or things are difficult, it's or even a punishment, a smart punishment is educational. It's to our best. It's not to punish for the sake of punish, to say to punish to grow. So Hashem hu Elohim, God in his being Elohim, that God can manifest kindness, chesed, Hashem, through being Elohim. That's, I think, what we can understand it. I don't think that's the way they would normally translate it. But Hashem hu Elohim, but you know, because it's two different names of God representing two different ideas. So you have this at the end. Kitov Hashem l'olam chasto. God is good. Lo'olam chasto. Those are all the things that God, we know God does for us, or things we don't think, like Baruch Hashem, going well, the chesed, the wonderful things that happen. Kitov Hashem l'olam. We have to give thanksgiving to God. Vador vador emunato. But for every generation, faith, the emuna. What's the emuna? I mean, what do I mean, faith? Again, vador, and for every generation, faith, we'll have faith. What does that mean? So that means when things are not going so well, you have a Holocaust, there are terrible things happen. Vador, emunato. The Jew has faith. Yes, this is a song of thanksgiving, but you know what? Through much of Jewish history, people have not had so much to say thank you for. There have been times where it's not so easy to say thank you. Right, the Anshei Knesset Hagdola cut out, or they restored Daniel and Yirmiyahu cut out Hagadova Hanara from the Shmon Esrei. Where's the greatness of God? The temple's destroyed. The God's not great. The non-Jews are dancing around. You can't say things that aren't true. Can't say. So the Ganshe gets, look, coming back to Israel, they restored it. So, but there were times when we couldn't really sing Mizmor L'Toda in a certain sense. So I think Bador Bador, Emunato. That know that even when things aren't good, to have Emuna, faith that they will be good. Okay.
Koran says, faithful faith, he says, Emunato means faithfulness, God's faithfulness.
Right, God's faithfulness that he will bring goodness to us. Obviously they're doing one word translation, but I think it's the idea, door by door, since throughout the history, door by door is like the long times of Jewish history, from generation to generation, often it's not thanks we have to have, we have emunah. That's why at night, after Shmatz, emet ve'emunah. Emunah is faith. Night is the time of darkness, and it represents the negative period. So at night, you have to have emet ve'emunah. In the morning, emet ve'yatziv. You anchor it in. It's right there. It's right before us. We can feel it. We can see it. In the daytime, things are good. Abraham davens shachrit. Yaakov davens mariv. It's not stam they happen to be that time of the day. That's not what it means. Abraham is hope in the Jewish future, and Yaakov is exile, of course. So Yaakov has to be davening mariv. Abraham is davening, Yitzchak's in the middle. Okay, we discussed that also right at the beginning, Shirim, a little bit. Okay, let's just do a very quick review. And I see there are a few comments that I haven't had a chance to look at yet. So we basically discussed there's really two ways to understand Mizmor L'Toda. Either it's representing the Korban Toda, it is a song that was sung when people brought the Korban Toda. Korban Toda, it looks like it's the four people, the Yorde Hayam, people crossed the sea and were sick, have to bring it. The Gemara never says they have to bring it. The Gemara just says they have to give thanksgiving. And I think even if they do it, the Torah doesn't want to write that. If you have to force somebody to say thank you, it's not much of a thank you. The Torah describes if we're bringing the Korban Toda, and the Korban Toda is special. It had to be eaten with more people because they had less time and more food to eat. It had chametz. That's more joyous. It's a more joyous food. So it's the idea of thanksgiving. So that's the one half of the mizmor. Or you can understand it as just general forms of thanksgiving. General forms of thanksgiving. And of course, the difference is when do you say it, right? Do you not say it on Shabbos, Pesach, which is sort of the Ashkenazic custom? Or say, no, we should always say it. And some people have the custom. They say it on Shabbos without mizmor L'Toda. Even if it's talking about Korban Toda, they still wanted to say it. They just took out the word mizmor L'Toda, beautiful. And then it's a form of general thanksgiving onto God. And then we just went through the earth. We sing to God. It's not just human beings sing. We sing with instruments. We sing with our voice. But the earth sings. Nature sings. The vastness of the universe sings out to God. Kol Ha'aretz also implies non-Jews, of course, right? Temple was based on non-Jews. We have to have simcha and rina. Simcha, continuous state of joy. It's not that we should worship God with joy, which is true. If you don't worship God with joy, it's not worship of God. How can you worship God if you're not, then it's not worship. To be in the presence of God means there's joy. But unfortunately, life isn't always like that. Okay, yes. So then you're right. Therefore, until we don't really worship God. An Abel is exempt. He's not allowed to do any mitzvah, a mourner, because he can't really worship God. Can't worship God the same way because there's a total disconnect. And we, Paskin, that they're not allowed to do mitzvah. So that, but we have emunah that not now, the day will come. And that's what to give thanks. And therefore, the Midrash says this unbelievable Midrash that even though in the Torah you have all these korbanot, the Torah is never supposed to change, but the Midrash says black and white, then in the future there will be no korbanot except the korban todah. No korban chatat, no mincha, no shlamim, no nothing else, no korban pesach. So we have a lot. So that's okay. That's more or less a little bit. And remember, next week, please God, we'll give the shiur 5:30 Eastern time. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 5:30 Portugal time, 12:30 Eastern time, 7:30 in Israel. That's a little too late. I will not be on the sitter. It's not fair. I appreciate everybody who comes. And I know people, they have busy schedules, so it's not fair to make somebody, have a sitter class, not at the regular time. But those who are interested in Perkei Avot, and those who aren't here today because their schedule allows them to come at 12:30, 9:30, let them know that they can come next week to a shiur on Perkei Avot. So that's, please God, what we'll do for next week. But just let me quickly go through the question. Why they leave a recovering from an illness, which is included. It's not left out. No, that's one of the four people recovering from an illness, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm I'm pretty sure I'll take another quick look. Yeah, Bracha 54b. We thank God for unknown miracles, correct. And Modim also, yes, Modim is also a way to thank God. I mean, that's why, by the way, we have to say Modim. In other words, Modim de Rabbana. We can't just answer Amen to Modim. When the Chazan says, Machzir Shkina Tol Tzion, we say Modim, because you can't delegate Thanksgiving. You can delegate Shofar, you can delegate Megillah, you can delegate Giddush, just have to listen. But it's not enough to listen to somebody else saying thank you and you answer Amen. You have to say it yourself. And therefore, when the Chazan repeats the Modim, we have to say Modim too. Correct. According to Wogamoth, Modim is for miracles we are aware of. We are or aren't aware of? So I'm at both. Okay, interesting. I'm not sure. I thought he said aren't, but both are. Some say one, some say the other. Miracles, I thought he said we aren't, but okay, thank you. The Webb telescope can see back 13. I thought the Webb telescope is only 4.5 billion years. What's 9 billion years?
They just found a galaxy 13.3 billion years from Earth.
When did they find this galaxy? No, but they're actually showing like pictures from galaxies of four. The pictures are from 4.5 billion years ago. They're from galaxies.
Light that they see now left that galaxy 13.3 billion years ago.
Right. That would be a bit later. I thought it was 4.5 billion. Whatever it is, it's amazing. Whatever it is, it's mind-boggling.
Where is the Mayim Sha'al HaShemayim?
Where's the what?
The Mayim Sha'al HaShemayim. We say every day in davening.
Yeah, I don't know. So right there, HaShemayim, Shemayim LaShem. Rav Schechter once told us, I think it was a Satmar Chassid, maybe it wasn't Satmar, said the moon land was fake news. They didn't have that term back then, fake news. But the moon landing isn't true because it says in the Pasuk, HaShemayim, Shemayim, LaShem, Ba'aretz, not Nalev Me'adam. So how could it be? It's a contradiction to the Pasuk that man can, Neil Armstrong, can make a small step for man, but a giant step for mankind, right? No. We don't take these sukim literally, but obviously the imagery, people, right? It's, by the way, that's why some people explain the Torah has creation in 6 days, because what's the Torah going to write? Creation happened 14 billion years ago. Well, people won't know what you're talking about. Nobody understood this. So when we understand the Rambam even writes in the more Nebuchim that had he been convinced, he wasn't convinced, but had he been convinced that the Greeks were right, that the earth was eternal, there was no big bang, there was no moment of creation, the earth always, that was the Greek belief, he would reinterpret Bereshit for Elohim. He says that he doesn't think the Greeks are right. He doesn't have to reinterpret Bereshit Elohim. God made a big bang. I mean, that's what we assume, right? Whatever it is. But so new discoveries come in science. The Torah is not a literal book. That's not our tradition. We don't understand things literally. Okay, because I'm not going to assume kind of your site. Yeah, so I have to look into that a little bit. Somebody once asked me, getting married on Yortzeit, there is such a custom. We treat a Yortzeit like a quasi-veil. I don't know, is that a real halacha? Like, I don't know. I think if your first cousin is getting married on Yortzeit, I don't want to paskin that without, but I think you should go to the wedding. That's off the top of my head. But listen, I don't want, did anybody read Halacha of the Shlomo Brody? Anybody read Shlomo Brody's article? He wrote the Halacha of the Complex, published by Koren. He used to write in Jerusalem Post. He wrote a fascinating article in Chakira last year about how the 12-month parents can be mokel their avelus after, like, for Yud Beit Kodesh, even Shloshim maybe. And he said how his father insisted that he not... that he's mochel the avelus, and he insists that if he gets invited to a wedding, he go to the wedding, that he not say he's in avelut. And he wrote a whole article about the halachas of that, and he quoted many gedolim would tell their children, don't mourn for me for 12 months. I don't know if they meant not to say Kaddish, I'm not saying that, but you don't have to not go to a simcha because of that. It's not well known, the Hamon Am, and Rav Schechter, apparently his father told him that, and Rav Schechter used to go to weddings during the year for his father. And then people said to him, like, well, what are you doing here? Because the average person doesn't get this. So he stopped going because he felt it was like people were, you know, but he wrote a fascinating article. I don't know if it'll catch on, that the parents, you know, so I don't know. I don't know that you shouldn't, you know, if your best friend or your aunt or whatever, your first cousin's getting married or your nephew on your yard site. I don't know. I would think to go, but I am not holding right there. But yeah, normally that was such a custom. Okay. Contentment versus getting transitory. Yeah. Okay. A new puppy. Okay. Okay. You have your first grandchild. Yeah. That would be great, Rina. Correct. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. My Hasidic bankrupt, yeah. Okay, and Sir Malvin, Rav Meir Leibush Ben Yechiel Michal Wasser. Thank you very much. I didn't have his name. I found. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Look forward. Let's skip Thanksgiving. We should always be. We should be zochet merit that we can worship God. A Jew should always be smiling. Normally, be happy, be joyous. You know, there's so much good. So,
by the way, you know,
so many problems in the world. Let's focus on
You were talking about Rabbi Wolgemuth. We have someone here in our neighborhood who is a student of his, who grew up in Boston, a student of his, who has devoted his life now to Biurei Tefillah. And he gives a weekly shiur online.
Who's that?
His name is Abe Katz. He's a lawyer. Oh, and he gives a shiur every Tuesday night online, on Biurei Tefillah. Now he's doing Shabbos davening. He had done all of weekday davening. He did Berachas HaMazon. And he constantly quotes Rabbi Gamuth, who, you know, he attributes his, you know, lifelong passion for studying Tefillah to him.
I think
also the person who wrote the book now, Usher Reichert, is someone who I know very well also. He's a neighbor of my daughter's in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And he's a wonderful guy, and he's also a student of Rav Wolgemuth.
I don't know him, but he writes in the introduction. Listen, I think it's almost a tragedy that so few schools teach tefillah. They insist that the kids say every word.
This is something the Rav seemed to have insisted in my mind. He insisted.
Okay. He was a true gadol.
That's why Rav Wolgemuth was given the charge from the Rav. That he's got to teach Biurei Tefillah.
Right, but unfortunately, I mean, name two other schools that do that, and they have no time, and I told the schools they should daven a third of what they. It's ridiculous. They have to rush through davening in 20. You don't have to daven the whole thing. Say every day, say one parak in Tehillim and switch it. Say it out loud. They figure what an 11-year-old kid, even a 17-year-old kid, doesn't have to daven everything. So it's Imran.
100. I agree 100%.
The first
and when I was in school, we did that in school. We didn't.
What school did you go to?
When I was involved in Tinoch in Stanford in bicultural.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it should be. But it doesn't look orthodox to skip. That's the problem.
Correct.
Today.
Yeah,
everything the conservative movement does becomes like trape. It's terrible. It's right. Oh my God, that wouldn't be orthodox if we skipped Baruch Hashem Yivayivarech David one day. Okay, it's whatever. Yeah, yeah. Okay, but thank you for that. Yeah, yeah. But Reverend,
enjoy the trip.
Okay, thank you. Please, God.
Enjoy the trip.
Shuli Mishkin yesterday quoted my brother. My brother is also a tour guide in Israel. Shuli quoted an article that my brother had written about Gamla, and she quoted it in the class yesterday. And it was interesting because I knew that he was in touch with Shuli Mishkin about this, about this thing with Gamla. But it was very nice, wonderful series.
We had just arrived. That's when we were arriving. Okay, great. Okay, please God. Okay, hope to see you. Those who can make it next week for Pirkei Avot, great.
Enjoy.
We'll see you then in 2 weeks. And feel free to always invite a friend. Thank you.
Enjoy the trip. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Okay, everybody, you have a good Shabbat. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Shabbat Shalom.
Have the trip with Hilfa, right?
Mr. Zucker, what do you want to say?
No, just say, do the trip with Simcha. You know?
Oh, yeah, but everything with Simcha. Thank you. We should do everything with Simcha. Okay, thanks a lot. Be well. Bye-bye. Bye.